flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I guess how I would frame it, we are approaching this is we're trying to make our team better. We're not looking to be sellers. I mean, there's deals you have to do for the organization depending on, you know, certain things, but we're trying to add to our team. We want to make our team better. And I'm approaching this is more of if there's deals out there, we're wide open. We have to be willing to look at everything, especially where we are in the standings. But is there hockey trades to make? You know, is there a way to improve our team and maybe with a player that goes out and proves the difference, you know, like kind of similar to what we did last year with the Mittelstadt Byram. You know, it's a hockey trade. They're not easy, that's for sure. They're a lot of work, but those are the conversations I'm having.
Cool. You're in last place in the Eastern Conference, Kevin. How are you not sellers? Also, I'm seeing trades made done across the league. Finish one off. I'll actually believe you.
Listen.
That was Kevin Adams with Shelton Bulldog earlier in the week. Actually, it was just the other day.
I'm at a loss because he says all that.
He says all that, and ready?
Nothing's happened.
Not even that. Look at the market. These things have just happened, by the way. Mikael Granlund traded from San Jose along with Cody Ceci to Dallas. And that gets a first-round pick. How Mikael Granlund, first off, keeps fetching you first-round picks is beyond me. Marcus Pettersson traded away from Pittsburgh. First-round pick. Tell me that Jason Zucker isn't getting you that right now.
He would.
As much as I would love to keep Jason Zucker around, recognize and take advantage of the market.
Can I just have to say, something. It's just so... unbelievably frustrating.
Yes, to me. Welcome to hell. We're talking about the Sabres.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
He's probably not.
Frustrating as that is to say, he's not acting like a GM that's job is on the line. He's not managing the team like that whatsoever. He's comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. As much as I want to believe him, and I liked him when he was first here, right? Because I thought his drafting was good, everything like that. It's the inactivity to actually make moves to help your team in the present moment, not in the offseason.
If he's
in the
really
present moment.
Thinking about like moves as hockey trades being like the priority for him, where it helps both teams out, like, come on, man. Try to do something. Try to do something else because those trades are not common. And now you're sitting here with the same roster.
Yeah. And the deadline is approaching.
And part of my frustration with the GM, it doesn't stem from him not getting Elias Pettersson from the Vancouver Canucks. The Canucks instead choose to trade JT Miller, which is the smart thing to do, by the way. If you got two players beefing, trade the one that isn't considered a centerpiece for your team. That's the reports, by the way, that Pettersson, Miller, they were not really getting along in the locker room, and a lot of trade winds were circling through with both players, Miller and Elias Pettersson. JT Miller gets traded to the Rangers. Welcome back to New York, I guess, JT. But I even think that that was not, like, the Canucks got the entirety of that contract off their books. You can't force the Canucks to trade one or the other. Especially, it's a harder ask to trade for Pettersson. Pettersson is a younger player. He is a core piece for a franchise. That's harder to get than JT Miller, a player who is now technically on his fourth team, but third organization again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to trade JT Miller. So, like, I'm not mad about that. I'm not even mad that people had hope that that kind of deal would surface. Elliot Friedman had reported that the Sabres had been in conversations with Vancouver, so there was a little bit of heat to it, but it was the framing of it that they could be the favorites to get Pettersson that was like, no, I'm not believing this at all. One, I don't know that the general manager can make that kind of deal. He has not shown that he can be a guy that gets the big name acquisition. Biggest name that he has traded for is Bowen Byram.
Right.
A guy who is, at this point, a second pair defender. That's not a star. That's not a big time get. That is a one for one. The kind of trade that he's talking about in that clip there with Mike and Chris. But at the same time, until you can show me that you can make the move to be aggressive, and there are enough players with no move clauses that are quality acquisitions. They don't get a say in declining Buffalo. You can get these players early enough now before those no move clauses kick in. So I don't want the palm trees taxes excuse. That was actually meant to be more of a shot at the Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning and how easy they get it without, you know, having state taxes. I know that's what that was. But he said it in a way that kind of like undermined what he was getting at, which was that was supposed to be a shot at the Florida teams.
Yeah. And I'm just, it's so frustrating, especially when they play well.
Their toxic trait this year is anytime they show signs of playing well, there's going to be this inevitable collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Before that 13-game losing streak, the Sabres were sitting as high as third in the Atlantic and a point out of first.
We were talking about them actively as a, not a lock, don't get me wrong.
But I had said,
a playoff contender.
I had said, even if you're average, just be fun.
Yeah. And then they went and lost 13 games in
a row.
And
they cratered.
Yeah. And
it was not fun.
No. It was the complete opposite.
It is the opposite of fun.
I haven't watched a game since. I genuinely haven't. I watched the highlights. I watched the stat sheet. So I'm able to at least talk about it. But I have no interest in wasting 3 hours, 4 hours of a night watching an NHL game.
Mm-hmm.
NHL game is a stretch. Watching a Sabres game.
Yeah.
Because it's just not a good on-ice product you're seeing. Except when they win against Boston 7-2. And they come back last night against an arguably worse team to win. They had the lead. They lost it. They got it back.
Statistically a worse team.
Statistically a worse team.
Nashville's one of the few that's below you in the entire league.
Yeah. But it's still just don't do this. Please.
But now there's a new sign of hope happening And that's where I say, that's where I joke about it being their toxic trait. It's first line center Yuri Kulik. Tage Thompson and JJ Paterka have shown that they should not be separated. The two of them together are a dynamic force. Yuri Kulik being trusted with the 1C role right now is a big role to fill. But this looks like it's Kulik backing up the draft hype and the prospect development that he's been through. That's Yuri Kulik backing up the Rochester hype. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
This is your top prospect being the top prospect. But the hope is coming in a different form now. It is a 20-year-old center. The hope is coming from a different place. And it's now more of, okay, what can you look forward to? That's where it's dangerous, because like that's, again, the hope taking this new shape. And it's right now your first line center, who you thought would be the guy to crack through and break through on the roster, and he did. In training camp, he proved he should be an NHL guy. And he's here. And he's playing relatively well. Gotta say, I'm happy with what I've seen from Yuri Kulik on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is that he's just toiling on a team that is...
He's a bright spot in a
hell
black...
Hell itself.
Yeah, bright spot in a black hole. You're not going to see it. I just... This season for me, nothing is done before the trade deadline, I'm out.
His first pro season, though, within the NHL, I should say, not his first pro season, his first NHL season, 11 goals in 37 games. If he plays the full year and he keeps at this clip, you're looking at a 20-year-old rookie hitting 20 goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a big deal. Can it keep going? And that's where I say that the hope forms in a different way. Now it comes in the form of Yuri Kulik. But they should be looking at selling. Especially with the market that is going on right now, Jason Zucker would become a very valued commodity. And I don't want to see him go. I think that Zucker was a great addition to the locker room, and I think that he's been more than capable on the ice. He definitely is the only reason that your power play was able to stay afloat for a while. Though now you are starting to see signs of, like, they move around more. Like, there's a little bit more punch to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not great, but you're starting to see the signs of it. So it's frustrating. It's frustrating, to say the least, of how now the hope looks like it's coming from different parts. And it shapes in different ways. I still think that there's a lot that needs to be done with this roster. And how do you get started? Well, you got to sell some pieces. Get some assets back. Oh, but then what are you doing with those assets? You got to do something with them. And I think that's where the standard lies. Like, I want the Sabres to be sellers at the deadline. I hear that comment and I go, what the hell? But then I remembered. The GM doesn't do anything with the assets. He just lets them sit and cook. And there are some that needed to,
mm-hmm.
like Kulik. His third year in the system, and now he broke through, rightfully so.
Right.
Isaac Rosén should be getting a look in the NHL roster. That is also what selling does for you. You are last place in the Eastern Conference. You are 12 points out of wild card two. I don't want to say the words give up, but at the same time, be smart. And if Kevin Adams wants to go ahead and say that they don't think that they're sellers at the deadline, cool, man. Cool. Because you should be. Because the market's there.
Yep.
You have one of the most tantalizing pieces right now for the trade market.
Yeah, Derek, when we talk about this, the whole, you know, in, out thing, like we joke, it's so tough for me to get back in, because it's just the lack of activity, the lack of on-ice product, right, minus these past couple games. Just like you said, the inevitable collapse.
You say you're out, but that actually means you're in.
Right, right. And I have to be in. I know that. Like, I have to pay attention. I want to pay attention. But this team just makes it excruciatingly painful to do so. And I just don't know what keeping... Like I said, I liked Kevin Adams in the beginning. But he's, like I said, managing the team like he has a job guaranteed next season. And that is a little bit kind of like, I don't really like that. I think he should. I don't know if he should be the GM next season. Clearly, something's not working. You changed the coach, right? That didn't change things.
It did. Actually, things got worse.
Not arguably. They got 100% worse. The GM's the next thing. He's, what, year five? I think it's time at this point. And I hate to be a negative voice with that, but you haven't seen success in 5 years as an NHL GM. It's time to start asking questions. And I know the NHL...
Your most successful year, you were a point out.
Exactly. And that was in the beginning of your tenure. It's gone downhill since then.
And you failed to build off of that momentum.
Yes.
That's the problem, is that...
You didn't find yourself back.
There's regression that has happened because of inactivity.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, you had a pretty easy time selling Buffalo to teams, and you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a bevy of prospects. You had a bevy of picks. And you just used all of them. They're all now here.
Mm-hmm.
In Rochester. They're just hanging around now. They're all within the organization. Making this kind of deal is not easy. But when the Sabres were rumored to be one of those teams in the conversation for Elias Pettersson, I had zero belief in it getting done. Zero.
Yeah.
Because I know who the general manager is.
Right.
And now you're seeing Columbus is making this run. First of all, good for them. If there is another fan base that needs a shot of hope in the arm, it is Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with what happened to them this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wish it could be the Sabres.
I do also, but that also tells you, this is that being good on accident year.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would be looking at the Columbus Blue Jackets roster and telling you that they are a good hockey team and that they were expected to be here.
Right.
If Goudreau was still alive and on the roster, you would actually have a fair argument. But, you know, on paper, they're not what I would call a strong roster.
No, not
they're still a young team.
Yeah.
I do love that they are getting the success, though. But the other part of it is that their stars are playing like stars. Werenski leads the team at a point-per-game basis. He's got 57 points on the year. Very impressive. Kirill Marchenko has 54. That's more than any Sabre this year. So they're getting some of their young talent to start producing. It's just, as a Sabres fan, you look over and go, like, I'm happy for you, but also, why can't this team do this? And that's where your frustrations lie.
Yes.
Jason Zucker is absolutely someone that should be a trade target for a lot of people and a lot of teams. Zucker leads this team in power play points this year. And like I said, part of the reason they're not in last in power play efficiency. They're still only 27th. But sure, you're not sellers. Okay. Okay, Kevin. I believe you. I don't.
Not quite.
it's just like even in a conference so disappointing this year, you've managed to be the most disappointing. That is not what I wanted you to lead this conference in. In disappointment factor. Because, again, their toxic trait this year is every time they show that they're back or that they can start clawing their way back from the brink that they put themselves into, they will falter.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Adams said he would go to war with this team, the group in this locker room. You're losing the war. And I think that you're right. Like, there needs to be a change.
Yeah. The change, the big change that was supposed to work didn't work, made it worse. It's got to be, the owner is not going to change, right? Like, you're not selling the team, so it's got to be the general manager.
And once you get rid of one of the high-profile pieces, the target goes on to you. Fair or unfair. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
When you get rid of the head coach, you're saying that the problem was there. And the problem is you got rid of only two of them. You got rid of the head coach and one assistant. A head coach typically is allowed to pick out their staff. And that's where I think Lindy Ruff really got a rough deal here.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. He didn't get to pick his staff. No. He got the Granato hand-me-down staff and the Adams hand-me-down staff.
Yeah, because then the other vacancy was filled by Seth Apper.
Yeah. So,
how you don't get to pick your own staff from there is beyond me. And that is another managerial failure.
Yes, an absolute managerial failure. No question about it.
But yeah, Kevin, keep telling me you're not sellers. Because that's what losing teams need to do, is find assets, find value in assets, especially for a player. If you cannot get him signed, you got to get the deal done. You got to get a trade done.
Mm-hmm.
Have to. Because if Jason Zucker does not get traded at the trade deadline and you do not get a deal done with him, that is managerial malpractice. Especially for the season that Zucker's been having.
Mm-hmm. The thing that scares me, Derek, as I said, he's managing the team like a manager who isn't going to lose his job. It's like he's comfortable. And that does make me nervous that they're not going to move on from him and we're just going to have to deal with this again.
Yeah, that's what it is. This is not a good thing to look at. And it's very frustrating. And my frustrations are not from him not getting Elias Pettersson. My frustrations lie in me having zero faith that it was going to even happen in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we talk about the hope and like how, you know, Bills fans and everything like that, and we had a lot of fun with that. That's where it frustrates me, is having the opposite of that. And the Sabres are that team. They give you the opposite of hope.
Yeah.
And they've been doing this, and that's why it's just. I know this city deserves better.
Yeah,
especially because the Bills are giving you the better that the city deserves, and they're falling just short in the meanest and cruelest ways possible. And you're not even stepping up to the table.
Nope. It's utterly ridiculous. I'm beyond just numb. Like, that's where I'm at right now. You go from a team with such high, that surpassed expectations in every way, that plays and is managed at an all-time level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some blunders here and there, but nothing consistent. Sabres are just a black hole. It's so frustrating. And yes, there are bright spots, but the overarching theme of the black hole is just engulfing them. Nothing they can do.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately the story of this team as we speak, and have to continue to speak about them for the remainder of the Bills offseason. You know?
Yeah. And that's the problem, is that you get overshadowed by the offseason of another team when you should be taking center stage.
Mm-hmm. This should be, okay, it's our time. Bills didn't make the Super Bowl. Let's go make the playoffs. Nope, not even, you can't. There's no.
2 years ago, they did take center stage.
They did. And that was the most excited I have been about that team in my entire life. And then,
and
you know,
granted,
we talked about
also
the Bills
fell just short.
Yep. We talk about the Bills getting back there, just falling short, right? I know it's different. Playoffs versus AFC Championship. The Bills get back. The Sabres just went down the stairs, fell face first.
Yep.
Even the season after, they had a chance, didn't? And it was further away. It was not 1 point out, but they had a chance and they didn't do it. And then here we are this season, just eating at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. And again, that's where it just...
And again, I hate to be so negative, but I can't falsify positive thoughts about this team.
It's a gritting your teeth kind of thing.
Yes. I can't sit here and act like I'm happy with how this team's, you know what I mean? Like, that's where
I'm at.
Well,
let's kick things back over to the Bills coming up next here. We'll talk about the pending free agents, and we'll go through a little bit of a lightning round. Mm-hmm. The players you would want to keep and pass on. For the Bills free agent list coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You know, I thought the year was a good year, and a lot of firsts in a lot of ways. We were able to take a team that there were a number of new players, young players, players that had never been in a Bills uniform, players that had never played in an NFL game prior, and we counted on a lot of those guys, and they did a phenomenal job.
Unfortunately, the Bills offseason started in late January once again. And it's unfortunate.
A little later, though, than
slightly
recent
later.
History.
About minus 7 days later.
Yeah. Still later.
Still majorly unfortunate.
Very much so.
But there is something to go over with this team now, though. Which is, well, free agency, they're going to have players that they need to either re-sign or make the decision to walk away from them. And I figured, why not? Let's ask about them and see. Obviously, price points have to be, you know, for the right number for these players. But I do think that there's going to be something to, you know, to ponder at here going through this list. So, Joe.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we could start with the restricted free agents, mostly because they're kind of easier to have the discussions about. Third quarterback, Shane Buechele. Not really worried about that. Actually, he's not even the third quarterback on this team right now, I would think. Bills will probably want to rework their entire quarterback room.
Yeah, I would assume so. I don't think Mitch Trubisky comes back.
Trubisky's not coming back. I don't know if Mike White comes back. And if he does, he's going to be ahead of Buechele on the depth chart. So if they sign him, it's not going to be any sort of like big deal one way or another. Not a needle mover.
Nope.
Tight end Quentin Morris.
That might be a little... bit of a needle mover for me. I'm not going to lie to you.
Price point wise, he's been loyal to the Bills.
Yeah.
I would imagine the Bills will probably try to keep him around on the bottom of the 53.
When he's had to play, he's actually played pretty well.
Yes.
So, you know, catching that touchdown pass this season even, just that inexplicable loft from Allen, you know, it's like he also blocks pretty well too. So yeah.
Morris is a special teams contributor. He ends up giving you snaps on offense every now and then. Good blocker. Sometimes can come up with a nice catch for you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You want to bring back Quentin Morris, especially as a restricted free agent. That means the team has a little bit more control.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here we go. Here comes the rest of the unrestricted free agent list.
UFA.
All right. Tommy Doyle, the offensive lineman, keeps having the worst luck possible mm-hmm. with injuries. I would imagine the team's probably just going to let him go at this point.
The team's offensive line is so built up at this point.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He can't really crack through.
Yeah, so I think that's an expendable person.
Like, it's an unfortunate career arc for Tommy Doyle with the injuries that he's had to suffer.
Yeah.
Long snapper Reed Ferguson. That should be an easy one. Bring him back.
Why would you
bring him on back?
With Martin and Bass, why would you mess that up? You know?
Well, Reed Ferguson's also still a reliable long snapper, and he has not made the special teams gaffes that have happened a good amount of times with this team this year.
Right.
So I would imagine that Reed Ferguson, he's coming back, I'd imagine. Jordan Phillips.
Hmm. He only plays well on the Bills.
Yes.
So, I mean, money-wise, he's not going to get hunted by any other teams, I don't think.
No, not really.
So, if you can work out a way to keep him here cheap, I'd take that. He plays well in a Bills uniform. He was the big reason that they were able to hold Kansas City to a field goal on that final drive and set the offense up for a game-winning drive.
He was the one that made that play, yes.
So, if he can consistently... Which in a Bills uniform, like you said, he can. I would keep him around just as a rotational player, for sure.
I wouldn't say it's a consistency thing for him, but like he is still a tough guy to move around.
And he knows the system
the system, and he plays passionately for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive tackle Quentin Jefferson. I would imagine they're probably going to end up rotating in, rotating out. Jefferson was also a player that has been on the Bills before, but I would imagine the Bills are probably going to swap some players out of here, which leads me to the third defensive tackle, Austin Johnson. And I think Johnson made a little bit more of impacts.
Yes.
I do think that he is someone that they should be thinking about bringing back.
I agree. I like Austin Johnson. I mean, the thick picks, he had, what, three of them?
He had two.
Two of them? Almost three.
He tied for the team lead in interceptions this year.
Yes. So,
which is weird to say out of context. It sounds terrifying that a defense tackle led your team or tied for the team lead in interceptions. But the Bills had seven players with two interceptions.
Yeah.
Austin Johnson had two interceptions.
Mm-hmm. So he's one of the seven, which
it's
is crazy.
Strange to me.
It is. You're right, though. Off cuff, that sounds like a terrible stat. Like, what is the defense doing? But then you realize seven players had two. So
yeah.
Tied. Yeah, I would bring him back, I think, for sure.
All right, defensive end Dewan Smoot. I think you need to rework a lot of your defensive ends.
Yep, I agree. I think Smoot, he had a solid couple games, but I think you move on from him, unfortunately.
He got banged up and came back and really was not making as many plays.
No.
So I do think, you're probably moving on there from Dewan Smoot.
Mm-hmm.
Fullback Reggie Gilliam, yes.
Bring him back. Most versatile fullback in the NFL, come on.
He is efficient. He's good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Bring him back.
I think they could do more with him, too. I think Joe Brady could sprinkle stuff.
I just need him to move people out of the way, and he's very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason the Bills' run offense is very good, and Gilliam is one of the factors.
Helps out with that.
Gilliam is absolutely one of those factors. Staying in the backfield, Ty Johnson. There's a tricky one there.
Yeah.
I think Johnson could probably command a little bit more of a role from other teams,
mm-hmm.
especially because Ray Davis was relied on a little bit more as the season went on.
Yeah. And especially other teams looking at his production jump.
I want him back. I'm worried that he might...
Might pull some money.
He might pull some money from someone.
Mm-hmm. He probably will.
A team might be able to say, I can guarantee you RB2 snaps consistently.
If you can bring him back without killing... Any cap stuff you have to do, sure. But if he gets a better opportunity elsewhere where you can't match, he's gone.
Johnson made $1.29 million this year.
He's probably going to...
I'd imagine a slight raise is in order.
I would also. Maybe that's where getting rid of Daquan Jones fills that void, though. Who knows? Whatever they have to do. The $2 million, that would free up, you know? I don't know. But I would keep. By the way, like to keep him if possible.
That said, according to SpotTrack, his calculated market value is 2.7. That would probably price himself out of Buffalo.
Yeah, with the cap games you have to play, 100%.
Yes.
100%.
That would be tough.
Even though I like him, I think James Cook and Ray Davis next season would not be the worst thing. And like you said, they might draft a late round running back.
They're probably going to draft another running back.
Yeah,
because when James Cook comes up. Due for contract, are you going to pay him?
Yeah.
And that is a lot more than the $5 million he's going to make this year.
Mm-hmm. So you got to see if you can find another diamond in the rough like him. Yeah.
or you need another committee that's strong.
Mm-hmm. A committee that could take on his role and not exceed it necessarily, but match it.
Yes. That's going to be tough. I do think that that's not an easy one for you.
And they're going to have to re-sign Allen at some point, too.
Yeah.
And you got to think sooner than later before the market inflates like crazy, which it already has. Look at Dak Prescott's money and Jordan Love's money.
Yeah.
Allen's better than those guys. You're going to have to pay him more. You know? Like, you're already biting the bullet on that pretty much. So it's just, you got to figure out what can work around that. Because the longer you wait, the more the price tag goes up. You've seen that with all these quarterbacks.
Yes.
Allen's quarterback contract currently looks like an absolute steal.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you got to look at this and think, maybe there's something you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that Ty Johnson's a very interesting conversation there.
There's definitely room for debate on that.
I do think they're going to move on from him.
Yeah.
But
there's compelling arguments on both sides, why and why not, I think. That could definitely be a conversation. And they might have it. Who knows? I don't think they're going to move on from him lightly. They're going to try and keep him here. But if it exceeds, like you said, that market value, probably not.
Or even gets to that market value from his production, that would be an interesting one that you look at. We'll round out the defense here on the other side of... So, DeMar Hamlin. I already said it. I expect that they move on. Mostly because you have players that are already similar to him.
Yeah.
On your roster.
Mm-hmm.
And very much similar skill set in the player that started opposite him the entire season in Taylor Rapp.
Yeah.
I don't think it's smart to have two players with very similar skill sets like that. You need one guy that's a thumper. But you need one that can also make the plays.
The free safety, yeah. And it,
obviously, DeMar is a big story, inspirational kind of player. But I don't expect that that he'll end up being back in a Bills uniform next year.
No, I predict he's in a Steelers uniform next
year. Which would make sense. You know, Pittsburgh native.
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely like to see that for him.
Just to go home.
Just be able to go home. Yes. But he did put several years here into this city.
And this was his best one.
And having to deal with what he had to deal with, I wish nothing but the best for DeMar Hamlin.
Exactly.
I just don't expect him to be back because there's already another player with similar skill sets starting next to him. And Cole Bishop does start to look like, at this point, he looks like he's got a little bit more of that physicality in him. So if that's the case, that's another player with similar skill sets. It's a redundancy. And if you're the one that runs out of your contract first, well, that's probably the first one that's going to be able to walk and get his own opportunity somewhere else. But he would pair with a guy like a Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's a rangy player, a guy who can create plays.
Yeah.
He could, I don't know, but I think that would be a better fit, is having someone that is that wide-ranging type player that would play next to him. Rasul Douglas. This is a hard one.
It is. He's getting up there in age.
He's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
See, he made $7 million.
He did.
He's going to get a raise.
Yep, and I don't think the Bills hang on to him. That's where I'm at.
I don't think the Bills are capable of hanging on to him based on their cap troubles. But the other side of the argument is we need at least one more year out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because can you trot Kyrie Elam out there? No. I think his time in Buffalo is done.
It's done. Yeah, he's not coming back. There's
but
no
shot.
But that
means then that corner gets very much moved up the ranks for your needs and priorities.
Right.
Especially if you're playing more man coverage, which, by the way, Rasul Douglas was not a good fit with.
Nope. Which is what makes me think that they might try.
If Babich wants to play more man coverage, they will move on from Rasul Douglas.
Yep. And I
who's
think,
a hell of a personality, by the way.
Yeah.
And exactly the type of player that they've needed over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. He was the great Tre'Davious White replacement when they needed him with Trey's injuries, right? So he came in at the perfect time. He got them to where they're at now. I truthfully don't think he's back next season. I think they try their luck drafting late again, cornerback like Benford. I think they're going to look for those guys in the draft.
Oh, by the way, when we were talking about Michelle, those quarterbacks are all signed, by the way. White and Trubisky are still also under contract.
Oh, so they're probably
like,
going to run.
They're not on the free agent
They're probably going to run with the three of them.
Probably.
Yeah.
I just realized that. I'm like, yeah, no. I'm
I think there should be a competition for QB2 next year, though.
Yes.
I would like to see Mike White actually take some meaningful snaps in training camp and see what one they end up going with as the backup. Because for whatever reason, they like Mitch Trubisky. But after seeing Mike White actually play meaningful snaps in the NFL, I feel like he'd be, I don't know, I like him better as QB2.
We can like it all we want. If the Bills need QB2 at any point,
we're in trouble. It's done.
All they need to do is not make mistakes.
Yeah.
I would probably trust White to do that more. Capably, but yeah, you know, I'm not worried about having that discussion at large,
yeah,
so to say. And then, of course, we're going to end it with
wide receivers.
Yes, I see the wide receiver big board staring at me. Why not end this conversation with it? There are two of them here: Mac Hollins, Amari Cooper. Mac Hollins, that one's probably a slam dunk. You're probably going to be able to get him at relatively the same cost that you did this year.
Mm-hmm. Would you sign him for more than a year?
I'd put him
on a little bit contract.
I'd sign him for two at the most, though.
Mm-hmm. Don't go above and beyond, depending on... You also don't know what you're getting draft-wise, what you're getting free agency-wise.
Are you signing him to the same contract? He made 2.6. And I would say so.
I would say he didn't do enough to really boost his value exponentially. Like, he helped,
but enough to sure as heck keep the contract number that you already had, because...
Keep getting a couple million and stay here,
he led the Bills receivers and touchdowns this year.
Yeah. A guy who couldn't track a deep ball in the first half of the season.
That was the big thing, was that he really came to form in the second half of the year.
Yep. And look at how that worked in the playoffs. It kept you in the Kansas City game.
And, of course, like, you know, the style that he has. He immediately became a fan favorite.
He's just an all-time character to have in the locker room, and he's also a menace on the field. He gets in the other team's heads.
And he's a special teams contributor for you, which helps out on that end of the roster.
Yes.
Finally, Amari Cooper.
That's the question, right?
Cooper is a very fascinating one to me, because I think that his value sunk. SpotTrack seems to agree.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the number for you.
Okay.
Market value, according to SpotTrack.
He was at 20, just to put the baseline, right?
He was paid at 20.
Yep.
Market value... 2 years, $28 million, which would mean $14 million
for a year.
14.2 is what I'm seeing here.
See, that's the thing, though. I think as an unrestricted free agent, another team might look at that market value and be like, "Oh, it's Amari Cooper, in need of a wide receiver, right?"
Yes.
Which the Bills are also as well. I'm not saying they're not, but a team like Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Budding team with a new head coach looking for veteran talent to put around a quarterback. Looks at Amari Cooper for $28 million for 2 years and is like, okay, done deal, right?
Yes.
Like, that's kind of where I'm scared with that. But 1 year, $14 million for Amari Cooper, I think that would be a solid...
It's based on a two-year deal. But I do think that there is some merit to that number.
Yeah.
I think paying Amari Cooper $14 million would be interesting, but I also do think that you might want to try something else, because Cooper is 30.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a good amount to give to a player that is at 30, is going to be, you know, 31 at the start of the year. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
I do think 14 makes it a lot more digestible of a conversation to have.
Mm-hmm.
But considering your cap woes, you might need to figure it out from there. And I think the Bills move on from Amari Cooper.
I think inevitably they do. I think another team will swoop him up, though, before the Bills really have the chance to move on from him. I'm going to be honest with you. They see him sitting there at $28 million for 2 years. Yeah.
Well, guess what? I got good news. We're going to be able to talk about this all throughout the offseason.
Yep. You got a lot.
We got to also wrap up here as Sports Talk Saturday comes to an end. Coming up next on WGR. A lot of sad boy conversations today. Bills being eliminated, obviously, last week. The Sabres being the Sabres. You know, great stuff. Great times.
Wonderful.
Big for your mood. But we're always here for you to try to do that and try to deliver to you as entertainingly as possible. So, for Joe Kelly, for Evan DePasquale, for our guest Alex Brasky today, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Sabres play the Devils tomorrow at 1 o'clock, taking the Bills game day time from Sunday at 1. You'll be able to hear that right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.